We do have a Father, and He is a King. He does have a kingdom. That kingdom includes you and me, but we must make certain that we enter that kingdom. Let's stand as we read the Word of God. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Now that was the King James Version. And some may not have caught the fullness of the meaning of what Jesus was saying from King James. Let's look at it from the Message. Knowing the correct password, saying, Master, Master, for instance, isn't going to get you anywhere with me. What is required is serious obedience, doing what my Father wills. I can see it now. At the final judgment, thousands strutting up to me and saying, Master, we preached the message. We bashed the demons. Our God-sponsored projects had everyone talking. And do you know what I'm going to say? You missed the boat. All you did was use me to make yourselves important. You don't impress me one bit. Out of here. You're fired. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the living Word of God. We thank you for the presence of the Spirit of God in this place today. Holy Spirit, you're our teacher. You're the revealer of truth. You're the one who reveals Jesus to you, to us. Now have your way in this place and in our hearts today. And we thank you in advance for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This is Father's Day. And as we acknowledge Father's Day, we're going to become better acquainted with our Father. You see, today we can learn how to be better fathers, better mothers, better children, if we learn something about the Father. Now notice in verse 21, it said, not everyone, but some. There will be some who will get in, but not everyone. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, we do have a king, and he does have a kingdom. And it is his desire that every one of us be a part of his kingdom. But knowing Jesus, knowing the name of Jesus, doing good works is not the criteria for entering the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus made it clear that the criteria for entering the kingdom of heaven is doing the will of his Father and our Father who is in heaven. So that tells me that there is something in heaven that determines whether or not I get into heaven, whether I get into the kingdom of heaven. Heaven sets that criteria, and that criteria is doing the will of the Father. Now, the Father has a will and a heart's desire for the entire world, and he has a heart desire and a will for you and me as individuals. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. So he has a will for the world. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God also has a will for each one of us. You realize that the fact that you were born, the fact that you are here, is evidence that our Heavenly Father had a purpose for our lives. Doesn't matter how you got here. God is the only giver of life. And the fact that you were born means that there is a divine, God-given purpose in the earth for your life. So God has a divine purpose. That's what he said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:5. And he says the same to us because he's no respecter of person. He said to Jeremiah, before I formed you, look who formed him. Before I, your daddy, your father, formed you in the belly, I, Father God, knew you. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I, your Father God, sanctified thee. And I, your Father God, ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So God the Father has a will for you and a will for me. Now we must know what that desire, God's heart is for us as individuals. The only way we're going to know that is to press into the heart of God, to have the Father reveal that to us as individuals. So the Father has a will. And in Matthew 6:9-10, when Jesus was teaching the disciples to pray, he taught them to pray a certain way. And we must understand that and pray a certain way also. He told them, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven. You see, there is something in heaven that must get to earth. Pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You see, if we're going to do the will of our Father, then we have to connect up with heaven. We have to connect up with our Father who is in heaven. So Jesus taught the disciples to pray a certain way. Now, there is a blueprint in heaven for each of our lives. There's a blueprint in heaven for every need we have. It's already done in heaven. Whatever it is that you may be seeking God for answers to, we must know that it's already resolved and worked out in heaven. And it's our prayer that thy kingdom come and thy will be done in earth exactly the way it's done in heaven. The Bible says in Psalms 119, I believe it's 89. I don't know if we got it or not. Yeah. It says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So some things are settled, completed, finished in heaven as it concerns you and as it concerns me. And we must get that from heaven to earth. If we can get in earth that which God has ordained for our lives, that which God has already prepared for our lives, then we can have heaven on earth. And we must be able to press into God to seek what is in heaven, to have it come to earth. God's word and his will are always consistent. They're always in agreement with each other. So how do we get that which is in heaven to earth? How do we get it to earth? Because what we need is in heaven. Now, Matthew 16, verse 19. Now, it's a familiar scripture that we're going to look at from the Amplified in a moment. But before this discourse that Jesus was having with Peter, the Bible says when Jesus entered the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples a question. Who do men say that I am? And they said, some say Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But he said, who do you say that I am? And Peter spoke up and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. No man told you who I was, but my Father in heaven whispered in your ear and told you that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said that upon this rock, the revealed knowledge of God, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Then he stated this in verse 19 of Matthew 16. And this is from the Amplified Bible. Jesus speaking. We want to know how to gain access into the kingdom. Because Jesus said, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter in. So Lord, Lord is not the formula. He said, only those going to get into the kingdom will be those who do the will of my Father. Now look at this. Jesus says this. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, must be what is already bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, declare lawful on earth, must be what is already loosed in heaven. So, we have some authority now keys represents authority, represents power. And there are some things that have been declared improper and unlawful in heaven. Sickness, disease, poverty, disunity, ill will. We could go on and on. There are some things that as we sit here today are improper and unlawful in heaven. Therefore, if we're going to do the Father's will, we must declare that some things are also improper and unlawful in earth. We don't have to put up with stuff. We don't have to settle for. We don't have to be controlled by this world system. We do have a kingdom. We have a king. And he has a kingdom, and we are part of that kingdom. And we have the authority to do through Jesus Christ to bring to earth that which is in our Father's kingdom. And there are things that we may declare that is lawful in earth. And we look in heaven and see what's happening in heaven. And we say, okay, healing, woo, lawful in earth. Come on, healing. Every need met with abundance. That's lawful in heaven. So we can loose that in earth. Now, keys are an interesting thing. Keys tend to unlock something and allow entrance into something. Now, a key must be so made with the right grooves and everything in that key to fit a particular lock. Now, there is a reason why one key will open a lock and another key will not open a lock. If the key is not made in conformity with the lock, if it's not in harmony with the lock, if the grooves in the key is not consistent with the grooves in the lock, then the key is not going to open the lock. Are you following me? It can look just like the same key, but one little groove off, you will not get in. Now, that's so in the natural, and it's also so in the spirit. You see, our Father who is in heaven has set a will. He has a determined will for you and for me. And that will is set. We are not going to gain entrance into the kingdom in heaven of our Father just with Lord, Lord. We're not going to gain interest with doing good works in the name of the Lord. We're not going to gain interest by doing good programs and receiving the acclaim of man. But the lock is so set for a certain key. And that key, because the Father has a will, it has certain grooves in it. And the key that's going to gain entrance into the kingdom of heaven must be in harmony with the set will of the Father in heaven. You following me? So if our lives are not in harmony with the Father's will by our doing the will of the Father, you don't get entrance into his kingdom. Only those who will enter into the kingdom of heaven are those who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. That makes sense, doesn't it? So there comes a time when we must stop playing church. There was a time in the life of Jesus when he was 12, when Mary and Joseph had left Jerusalem, thought he was with them, and they traveled 3 days' journey, thinking he was amongst their company, and he wasn't. And they had to turn around and go back to the last place they encountered him. And they found him in the temple. And he said, "Didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" So we may in our own lives have traveled 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, 6 days journey without Jesus, thinking that he is with us. You realize that's one of the saddest things for a believer? To be walking this journey of life thinking, hoping, just because we got all the right formulas in place, just because we got the right song, because we got the right prayer, we got the right preach, we think that Jesus is with us. Lord, Lord is not the criteria. Lord, Lord is not the key, but doing the will of the Father who is in heaven. Now, this king and his kingdom is for our entrance. We are supposed to. But the criteria must first be met. Only sons, true sons and daughters, enter the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said in John 1:12, there wasn't Jesus' statements, but it was stated there, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become sons of God, even to them who believe on his name." So, if, in fact, we are sons and daughters of God, then we must have power that Jesus gives. It takes power to be a son of God, a daughter of God. Since he's Almighty God, we need some power too to demonstrate what he does. And let's look at examples from Jesus' life. Jesus said this in John 6:38. If you have it, we'll put it up. I'll read it. "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now, Jesus is and always was and always will be one with the Father. Perfect harmony and agreement. So he came down from heaven not to do his will, but the will of the Father who sent him. Now we must pay close attention to Jesus and his life on earth, because he sets out the example for you and for me. So that which was in heaven, Jesus came to earth to do the will of the Father who was in heaven and who is in heaven. Understand this about Jesus. Jesus represents the complete, total embodiment of the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is that place where the authority of God, the rule of God is established and is in total harmony with God himself, the Father himself. So Jesus represents that. So he came from heaven to do the Father's will. John 5:19. This is Jesus speaking. This sort of shocked me a little bit the first time I remember reading this verse. Jesus says, "Verily, verily, surely, surely, absolutely, absolutely, no doubt, no doubt, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth," meaning the Father, "these also doeth the Son likewise." Did you know Jesus could not do anything of himself, but only that which he saw the Father do? He was totally surrendered and committed, sold out to the will of the Father. You see, we have a will, and sometimes our will gets in the way of our doing the Father's will. And you know, you hear folks make reference to children in this, using this phrase, strong-willed child. Well, yeah, there are, but there's some strong-willed adults too. Strong-willed children grow up to be strong-willed adults who want to do it our way. But we must take note of how Jesus lived in relation to the Father and follow his example. Verse 21 of John 5 says, "For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." It's like Father like Son, doing the will of the Father. And what we see the Father doing, we should be doing. That's what Jesus did. He saw the Father raise the dead. "I'm a son of God. The word of God is in me. I have the power of God. I have the Holy Spirit abiding in me. I've been given power to be a son of God. So what I see the Father doing, I'm going to do it. You and I have as much right as Jesus had to say to Lazarus, come forth. The Father raised the dead, the Son, the daughter raised the dead. But we must be sold out to the will of the Father for that to happen. The Father is not going to release that level of power and authority in a disobedient child or a rebellious child. Jesus was one with the Father. He obeyed the Father. He only did what the Father told him to do. And that which he saw the Father doing, as the Son, he did likewise. Listen at this. One more verse here, then we'll look at something else. John 12, 49 and 50. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father has said unto me, so I speak. Jesus had complete access to the kingdom of heaven. There were no barriers between the kingdom of heaven and earth. You knew that because whatever he saw the Father doing in heaven, because he was submitted to the will of the Father, yielded to the Father, he could do whatever took place in heaven in earth. Now this would be a challenge for all of us. Jesus only spoke what the Father told him to speak. He didn't go around giving people a piece of his mind. He only said what the Father released for him to say. Do we not know that the power of death and life is in the tongue? And Jesus said the commandment that the Father gave him was everlasting life. Therefore, the words that came out of his mouth were words of everlasting eternal life. His words were to build up, to bring life, not to destroy and kill and steal. So many times we yield as children of God our tongues to the enemy. And when we should be giving people a piece of Jesus' mind, because the Bible does say, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, doesn't it? So rather than giving people a piece of Jesus' mind, which is going to bring eternal life and liberty and set captives free, we give them a piece of our mind, which brings death and destruction. Listen, you know, let's just break it down to its most common denominators. Everything we do, everything we say, we are either representing the kingdom of God and the word of God, or we're representing Satan and hell. That's sobering, isn't it? So are we speaking words that bring death and destruction? Or are we speaking words that bring life and healing and health and well-being? Just think about that. Jesus was so yielded to the Father that in John 14, 10, Amplified. Let's look at that. Because we can learn how to do the will of the Father as we gain understanding and knowledge of how this thing works. Jesus said this. This was after they had said, you know, show us the Father and all that. And Jesus said, I've been so long with you, you don't yet know me, etc. Now, listen at this. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? What I am telling you, I do not say on my own authority and on my own accord, but the Father who lives continually in me does his works, his own miracles, deeds of power. Now, what Jesus is saying, it's the Father, the miracles that you see me do, I'm not doing those. I'm not the one opening blind eyes. I'm not the one causing lame men to walk. I'm not the one raising the dead. But it's the Father doing his own miracles and deeds of power in me and through me. Keep in mind, Jesus said he can do nothing of his own accord. Now, there should be good news for us. We don't have to make anything happen. No. You can't heal nobody. You can't raise no dead people. You can't open no blind eyes. But the Father who lives and abides in you, if we surrender to him, submit to his kingship, let his kingdom come in us. Let his authority and rule first come in us. If that happens, then everything that we encounter that is contrary to the will of the Father will bow its knee to the Father. He alone will do the work. We must awaken as to what it means to be children of God. It's no cheap label you slap on. If we are children of God, then we must be walking in the power and authority of our Father. In fact, some of us just take a time out and going around telling people, I'm a child of God. Because if we are, now, even people who don't really know God well, they know enough about him to know that he's powerful. He's awesome. So they look at you and me and say, where's your power? Where's your might? And you say, he's your Father? Are you sure you're legitimate? What happened to you? You're not resembling him. When Jesus said, But as many as receive him, he gives power to be sons of God. But listen, that encouraged me when I got insight of how Jesus functioned in the earth. Do we understand that when Jesus walked the earth, he walked in earth one as 100% deity and yet 100% human? Everything he did in the earth, he did as a human, submitted, surrendered, totally to the Father. Does that give you hope? Does that encourage you? Jesus said this in John 14, 12. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he who believes on me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these, because I go to my Father." Now, do we really believe that Jesus meant what he said? If we believe on him, then we should be doing the works that he did. So we must learn. Oh, wow, this was good. The Bible says in Romans 8 that Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. So every time we suffer something, don't start rebuking the devil. God could just have you in school to teach you something. And we also know how Jesus totally surrendered himself to the will of the Father in Luke 22, 42, in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he prayed, "Father," this was in his time of agony, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Jesus, even in this hour, submitted to the will of the Father. He knew the Father had a will. And if the Father didn't change his will, then he wasn't changing either. So he said, "Father, if it be thy will." So if it's your will, if you want to do it a different way, Father, fine. But if you don't, okay, your will be done. And he submitted to the will of the Father. And the Father continued to move through him in power and in authority. Now, what does this mean for us? If we're going to enter the kingdom of our Father that's prepared for us, there's only one way in. There's only one way in. And that way is doing the will of the Father. Jesus has demonstrated that truth and that fact to us. In fact, when Jesus said, in Matthew 16, 19, "I give unto you the keys of the kingdom," he really is the key. He is the key. He unlocks access to the kingdom of heaven. And he has made that way open for you and for me. in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. The word of God says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, past tense, blessed us with all spiritual blessings, where? In heavenly places in Christ. You may be here today listening to this message, and you may be someplace else and you hear this, and you desire the blessings that are available in heavenly places. Everything that we need is in heavenly places. God has completed everything for your life and my life in heavenly places. Every blessing that we need is in heavenly places, but they are in Christ. So how do you gain access to heavenly places? There's only one way, and his name is Jesus. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl, no one can come to my Father who is in heaven but by me. I'm the only way that you can gain access into the heavenly places and into the kingdom of God. There are not many other ways. There are no other ways. If you desire to be able to do the will of the Father who is in heaven, it can only be done through Jesus, who is the key that perfectly fits every lock that opens heaven to you. If you're here this morning and you don't know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you can gain access into the kingdom because you don't have the key, and the key's name is Jesus, just let the Spirit of God hover over you for a moment. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're moving actively in this place right now. I thank you that you're touching hearts. You're convicting hearts. You're drawing hearts to your heart. It's your will that the whole world be saved, because that's why you sent your Son. And he came and he did your will by shedding his blood, giving his life at Calvary, so that through him, everyone who believes on him will have access to your kingdom. Could I get our altar ministers to come, please? Let's stand to our feet. Those who hear the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart, I want you to come now. Jesus is the missing key. He's the only key that fits the locks, the kingdom of heaven. If you're here, come on. You may know Jesus, but you're not walking in a life that does the will of the Father. And you want somebody to agree with you in prayer as you make a commitment and take a stance to do the will of the Father who is in heaven. If you hear the Spirit of God speaking to your heart, I want you to come now. Just step up where you are. Let someone pray with you. Our ministry team will minister. And just come as you will. Spirit of God speaking to your heart, respond to Him, not people around you. So obey the God. This is the first step of obedience to the will of God. And somebody needs to step out and exercise that faith and your surrendered will to the Father. Pastor Kayat and his family are on vacation right now, so keep them in prayer. Keep in mind, we do have some of the 12 packs of cards with invitation to CNC. They're in the bookstore. Also, June is our micro missions month. And don't forget that. There's also that purple book that we have that will assist you in those efforts. So, live right, love everybody, pray hard. We will see you Wednesday night. Need prayer, still come. God bless you.